Praise God. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that what an awesome God. What an awesome, awesome God. You can be seated this morning. Last Sunday evening, we started a series, and we titled this series, When Your Unthinkable Becomes Unstoppable. And this is a series that's on faith, and it's a series that's on potential. And we were at family camp. I kind of gave a little introduction. We were at family camp this past summer, and Brother Davis was preaching, and he was talking about faith. He was talking about power. And as Pentecostals, we always talk about needing more power. And he made a statement that challenged me. And that statement was, we don't need more power. We need more faith. And I began to think about what causes some individuals to have a lot of faith and other individuals to have so very little when Jesus says that I've given each man a measure, meaning he gives us each the same amount. Whether that's a quarter teaspoon or a coffee can full, I don't know how much, but it says faith is a grain of mustard seed. So whatever amount he gives us, if it's a quarter of a teaspoon, it packs a wallop. Because just the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say, be into this mountain removed, whatever that mountain is in your life, whatever that problem is in your life, and it shall be removed and cast into the sea. That's how little faith it actually takes. So what causes some people to exercise their faith? And since we've titled this series, When Your Unthinkable Becomes Unstoppable, this morning our primary focus, I would like to focus on your and my potential. We're going to talk about this tonight. We're going to add the faith element with potential in a study of what I would really call one of my favorite Bible lessons. So you have to come back tonight to get that. But we're going to combine this morning, or we're going to talk this morning about potential. And tonight we're going to take that potential, we're going to combine it with the faith factor, and that is where our unthinkable becomes unstoppable. And hopefully after our back-to-school bash, we'll be able to complete our study on this. The last Wednesday night of this month will be our last message on this particular topic. But when we ask ourselves this morning, what is potential? What is potential? And I like the definition of potential. Potential is simply nothing more than dormant ability. It is ability that lies within each and every individual that God has created and placed on this planet. Every one of us has potential, and every one of us has within us a dormant ability that has not yet come to life. But the ability that is within us is simply useless until it is given some type of responsibility to go along with that ability. When God created Adam and placed him in the Garden of Eden, he planted him in a potential with the potential to subdue. He planted him or placed him in that garden with the potential to rule over and to take care of the earth and everything that was in the earth. His potential was predetermined by his purpose. Adam had inside of him all the potential that was necessary to fulfill the assignment that God has given him, or God had gave him. You and I, we have all the potential. We have all the ability to fulfill that assignment that God has given to us. But he was not aware of his fullest potential. Perhaps even us today, we are not aware of the fullest potential that God has for us. So the first thing that God gave Adam, we look in the garden, we think the first thing that God gave to Adam was a wife. And we always go from Adam to Eve. God created Eve. He took a rib out of Adam. He fell into a deep sleep. But that was not the first thing that God gave to Adam. The first thing that God gave to Adam was a work list. A work list. He created Eve as a helpmate to get that work list completed. But the first thing that God gave to Adam was work. The first thing he said was, Adam, I'm giving you the potential. I've given you the ability. So I want you to look at every animal that is within this garden. I want you to look at every plant that's in this garden. I want you to look at everything you see in this garden. And I want you to give it a name. And I want you to remember what that name was. That's why when it came down to Duck Bill Platypus, he was running out of names. He looked at that and thought, I have no idea. It looks like a duck. It has a bill. So it's a duck bill. And I don't know where the platypus come through. I have no idea. Maybe he was thinking about flowers or something like that, and it just all came together. But he was given the responsibility to name all of the plants and the animals. He was also given the responsibility to cultivate the garden. And God gave Adam insight in the potential of his spirit by commanding him to dominate the whole earth for God's glory. Work is a major key. Understand this. If you want to release your potential or begin the process of releasing your potential this morning, work is a major key in releasing that potential. If you're lazy, it won't be released. If you don't feel like it, you're not up to it, and you'd rather sit down and watch TV or the Olympics or play a video game, you will never release your potential. In order to release your potential, it requires work. Claiming a promise does not make it happen. You can sit there and claim it all you wish to claim it, but you have to apply a principle of work. The land, the promised land was promised to Israel some 400 plus years before they actually received it, but they had to work to get it. They had to work to get it. They had to walk in and out and possess it. And Deuteronomy 11, 24, good ideas do not just bring success. You can have a good idea and say, I've got a great idea, therefore I am successful. You have to take that great idea. You have to couple that with hard work. And in the two coming together, it releases the potential that you have inside of you, but you have to be willing to work. Our theme scripture for this series is from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And I'd like to get into that. This verse is a powerful verse that describes our unlimited potential in Jesus Christ. Now unto him, that's unto you and to me, that's everyone here. Now unto him who is able, that's talking about God, but who is able to do exceedingly, unto him who is able to do exceedingly, being God, is able to do exceedingly, he's able to do abundantly above all that we ask. So that means everyone here, everything that we ask of God, he's able to do abundantly and exceedingly and above all that we can ask. Now, I can ask a lot of things. If I was as a child growing up in the home of my father, I could ask him a lot of things. Dad, can I have this? Can I have that? And he would, most of the time, we would work towards that goal together. But I can ask a lot, but boy, I can think of a whole lot more things than what I can physically ask for. You know, we say it'd be nice to have a hamburger, but in our mind we're thinking of a T-bone steak and lobster. Here comes that food again. It's breakfast. We're thinking a bowl of cereal. And we're going to ask, can I have a bowl of cereal? We'll shoot low. So we say, can I have a bowl of cereal? And God is saying, listen, I've got a whole lot more than a bowl of plain shredded wheat that's got no sugar and it's got no fruit. I got something for you. I got a 36-ounce filet mignon just sitting here on the grill wrapped in bacon. I got three eggs. fix just how you like it. I got you 4 slices of toast. I got you some pancakes with some fruit on it and some whipped cream. I got you some apple juice. I got you some orange juice. I got you your favorite $35 a cup coffee. Listen, you may ask for cereal, but I'm thinking that's how God works. And we're happy with shredded wheat, and God's saying, man, I got to give this steak to somebody else that's willing to ask for it and work for it. You see, as we enter, I never finished, did I? Now, unto him, I didn't have breakfast, so you can tell. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. So he puts that power aspect onto us. That's the faith portion. He puts that faith portion back on to us. We're entering on a journey, and I believe this journey will change the way that we act. It will change the way that we think. It will change what we do and how we do it, because God desires his church. He desires the Christian movement, the Christian world today, to grow our faith in him. We can't put our faith in government. We can't put our faith in anything else. We need to put our faith in Jesus Christ, and God desires for his church to reach their greatest potential in him. This is our greatest hour. This is the best time of the church. This is our brightest time to shine. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you're always thinking that everything that you do is going to turn to mud, then you need to take that mud and add a little straw to it and make you some bricks and sell them. Did you get that? Just because everything happens in your life turns to lemons, like they say, crush them lemons up, sweetheart, and set up a lemonade stand and start selling some lemonade. Listen, as a man thinketh, if you think bad thoughts, that everything's always bad happening to you, then you know what? Everything probably always will bad happen to you. As a man thinketh, if you think you're a loser, then you know what? You're probably going to be a loser. Because you're thinking that. And as a process, the way our mind works is we think it and then we act out what we think. Right? That's why some of you this morning had no breakfast and others went down to the coffee shop and had a huge Goliath special. Because you were thinking that when you got up. And your thought process made it happen. It's a little plug for the coffee shop there. Don't get a free biscuit next week. Bishop gets them. He calls his order in. I don't know how that works. Maybe I try to do that. Maybe I'll email my order in next week. So tonight, we have the opportunity to expand, or today we have an opportunity to expand our godly thoughts and grow our God thoughts. God desires that we think his thoughts. He desires that we think his way. He desires that we grow in his ways. He wants us to become as he is, become what he desires for us. And God desires to take us places that we have thought were unthinkable places in him. And God desires that if we grow our faith, if we expand our faith to the point where our unthinkable will become unstoppable. This past Monday night, we had my birthday dinner. My birthday was last Sunday. And we had a birthday dinner on Monday night down at my folks's, and my dad and I were sitting out in their patio, and we were just kind of talking, and Cole comes running by, and he's just, you know, just a boy, and he just goes running by, and, you know, he's got other things he's got to do, and Marvin goes burning by on a four-wheeler out through the hayfield and blowing hay all over the place, and we're watching him and such, and Dad looks at me, and he says, you know, son, it just seems like just yesterday. Just yesterday, you were that little coal. You know, time goes by so fast. I began to think about that back when I was 20 years old and my daughter was born in my 20s and then 30s. I remember my 30th birthday and I thought, wow, I'm 30 years old and then 40 and then 50 and now it's 54 years old. And I know some of you are thinking you're just a young pup yet and that may be true to some of you, but man, 54 years old, I chatted with a friend of mine that I knew back in my teenage years, and I said, I can't believe that when our parents were this old, they were in their 40s, and we thought they were old. I remember laughing up at camp thinking, man, these pastors, they're out of the youth age. They're over 35. They're 36, and they're trying to play softball. What a bunch of old guys, and here I'm 54, and I'm like, wow. That was like really ancient. I begin to ponder as your mind wanders. And the older you get, the more it wanders. Trust me, you got to tie a rope to it so you can find it. And you sit back and you ponder about life. And I do that often. And I like to evaluate where I am in life. I do this sometimes daily, sometimes weekly. I like to do it on a consistent basis. How am I doing at where I am, Lord? I am right here, not physically in this spot, but I'm right here, God, right now. You brought me to this point, Lord. Am I doing what I am supposed to be doing at this point in my life? Am I doing what you desire for me to do? Do you wish me to be somewhere else? Do you wish me to take a different route, another road? And if you do, God, show me where that elsewhere or where that somewhere is. And some people, you know, they think about their vacations and they think about their job and they look at themselves and they're like, I get 2 weeks vacation, that's all I get. I could work here for 40 years and never get more than 2 weeks and my job, I'm as far as I can go in my job. I can't get any higher in my job. I'm at my highest pay level. I can't go any farther and I can't do any more than I'm doing right now and my life just feels like it's coming, just a big old pile of stale bread. Perhaps your marriage isn't as dynamic as it once was. Maybe you've lost that interest in your favorite hobby. And over the years, I've hunted and fished, and I love to hunt and I love to fish. And now I hunt very rarely, if at all, and fishing is almost as rare as hunting. And my hobbies have changed. They become kind of some things that I used to love to do and used to give me a lot of pleasure. I no longer have as much interest in those. Perhaps today you may feel inadequate and you may feel unprepared for your future, and others may say they feel plagued by their lives and that they're stuck in the circumstances that they are stuck in, and they're wondering, what is it all about? What is my life really worth? And what happened to my joy? You see, there are reasons why we feel in that stuck position. There are reasons why we feel discouraged. There are reasons why we have lost that enthusiasm for life. There are reasons God's people lose their hope, their sense of purpose, and their joy. And these reasons are the reasons why that life can just become one big, long, boring session day after day and week after week and month after month and years go by and we have done absolutely nothing with our lives. Perhaps today you're in a session or you're in that season in your life in which you have lost sight of who God made you to be and what he designed you to do. And as a result, you're not actively, you're not intentionally and purposefully pursuing what God has planned and desired for your life. You come to that dead-end road where you're stuck. You don't know what to do, and God is saying, over here, I've got so much more. I've got so much more. If you truly want to pursue and reach your full potential, we have to face a couple truths in our lives. We have to face the facts that, number one, God has placed more within you than you really realize. Within every last one of us, James Hawk, God has placed far more in us than what we ever thought was possible. No doubt when God looked at Adam and said, start naming the animals, he had no idea what to name them. And as he began to name them, and he realized that, hey, all of this is within me. I don't know where that came from. I have no idea how I got that name, but that name sure fits. That's why an elephant looks like an elephant, and a water buffalo looks like a water buffalo, and a crappie looks like a crappie. That's a fish for all of you non-fishermen. We understand that. We realize that. There's more within you than you realize, and you have likely settled for the life that you have now, and that life is void of the potential that God has for you. So in other words, we have settled in for life. I pray, God, don't ever let me settle in my life. God, I want a challenge. I want a challenge daily. Don't let my life just become dull and mundane to where that one day flows into the next, and by the end of the week, I can't even tell you what was accomplished. I don't ever want to have a life that's void of the potential that God has for me. I want to fulfill every bit of potential that God has given me. I want to fulfill that. Through the years, I've met countless people who are living a settled in or a settled for life. They're somewhere along that journey, and they become complacent and they become content in their circumstances. Maybe you've got that 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. You've got the 2-car garage and the boat sitting on the side of your garage. You've got the fenced in backyard with the little 3-foot pool around and the swing set for the kids and the sandbox, and you've got rid of your snow shovel and you got a snow blower and you just bought a riding lawnmower and you've settled in and life is good. But God says, I've got so much more for you. It's not just about swimming pools and lawnmowers and sandboxes. I've got so much more if you would just reach out to me. I remember years ago working in our Christian school, Calvary Christian Academy. I worked here for 3 years, I believe, and at the end of every quarter, we had that dreaded report card. I hated it in school when it came time for report card, because I knew when I looked at my report card that almost everything on my report card was going to be an S. I just knew that. Those of you that grew up in the era, you know what I'm talking about. We were given E's for excellent, S for satisfactory, and U for unsatisfactory, or N for needs improvement. And children, frequently, we would compare our results, and we would say, how many E's did you get? How many S's did you get? How many U's or how many N's for needs improvement did you get? And the same is true in life. If a person becomes content with what is average, what is minimally accepted or satisfactory, we will rarely exert the effort to work towards something that is truly excellent and outstanding, because all our lives we've just been a big satisfactory. Oftentimes a person, they may take offense if you try to push them. One thing that I've learned is you have to be very careful and very tactful when you tell people you did a good job, but I think we can do better, because some people just live their lives in a satisfactory mode. I want to stand before Jesus Christ someday, and I want him to say, well, I looked at your report card, and I didn't find any N's on it. I didn't find any U's. I didn't find any satisfactories. I went down list by list by list. And welcome, my good and faithful servant. You have done well. I'm going to give you all ease. That's how I want to go into the kingdom of God. So many times we're willing to settle for less, and God is willing to bless us much more than what we could ever imagine. He sees that potential that is deep within you, and you may be asking, how does God see me when he looks down at me? He sees all of the awesome potential and the possibilities that he created when he created you. I love Psalms 139. The psalmist writes, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He goes on and says, God, you are marvelous. Your works are marvelous. And that my soul knows very well, my frame was not hidden for you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me, where or when as yet there were none of them. Listen, church, listen this morning. You have to understand one thing. You may have come in here broken. You may have come in here frustrated. You may have come in here angry. You may come in here in a down and out type of an attitude, and your life may just stink at this point in your life, but understand, when God looks at you, he doesn't look at you as where you are today, but he looks at you and he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In God's eyes, you are awesomely wonderful. When we look in the first chapter of Genesis, and over and over and over again, the Bible tells us, and God said, it is good. Everything that God creates is good. It doesn't matter what he creates. When he creates the best of the best. Every species he created, it was good. Every planet he created, it was good. Every star he placed in the sky, it was good. Every last human being that has ever been born under the sun, it is good. When God created mankind, he said, it is good. We are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. Regardless of the sin that entered into the world after Adam and Eve fell in temptation. And when they fell, both form and function became warped and distorted. So today, you and I, we were born in a sinful world. We were born in sin and created in iniquity. In sin did our mothers conceive us. But the world is not always beautiful and doesn't always work well. It's not always full of peace and harmony. But that doesn't take away the point. When God said it is good, then it is good. This means that God desires to take you and I as individuals, and what the potential that he placed in us at creation. When God created Adam, he created him in the fullest of potential. And when God created man, he placed him in the garden with the fullest of potential. We have the same level of potential. We have the same level of abilities that Adam has. And God says it is good, and we need to take that and we need to believe. You see, He desires to engage us in the process of transforming us from the inside out. We spoke of that last Sunday evening, so we're continually being molded into the most God-loving, the most honored, the most Spirit-yielding person that we can ever be or could ever be. Did you know that God knows, God knows everything about us. Sometimes we think that we can hide faults from God. God knows everything about us. Stop playing that stupid game. It's like you're a little child and you're playing hide and seek. And you're standing here in the middle of the living room behind the broom and you're hiding. And you're covering your eyes, thinking that if I cover my eyes, if I hide myself, God won't see me. We look at that child and we laugh. We see their little belly sticking out. We see their little behind sticking out. We see their little elbow sticking out. That's the games we play with God. God sees everything. God sees it all. He sees. He knows everything. The psalmist wrote, "Your eyes saw my substance, and your substance is more than just your flesh. It's the sum of all the natural gifts. It's all of the talents. It's all of the personality. It's all of the dreams. It's all of your abilities. And even before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God saw you as a full, total person with all the potential and ability that he gave you. He made you one of a kind. Did you know there's only one Norman Puckett in this whole entire world? Did you know that? I just think that's awesome. Not that Norm's not good, but there's 7.5 billion of us, and there's one of him. That's how unique and creative God is. He didn't make us like a bunch of toys coming off an assembly line and we're all painted that look the same way. We're all different. And that's awesome. Do you understand that? That's incredible. I love walking in here and seeing different heights, different shapes, different sizes, different colors, even different smells. Yeah, I don't want everybody to smell like, I don't know, Chanel number 5. That's really old. Is it even number 5? I have no idea. I don't know ladies' perfume. Somebody help me out. I don't want everybody to smell the same. You know, I had someone give me a hug and said, "Pastor, you smell rustic." Rustic. Could you elaborate on that just a little bit? Could you define rustic? Well, you know, kind of like you know, outdoorsy. Yeah. I've smelled some of my worst things outdoors. You want to take another shot at that? Well, you know, kind of like, well, you wear cowboy boots, you kind of westerny. And I'm thinking hay and horse poo. I wear wild country cologne from Amazon. It probably is from Amazon now, but from Avon. I bought this when I was like 11 or 12 years old, and that's all I wear. So if you ever want to get me cologne, it's really easy, okay? You don't have to guess. My wife stockpiles it. I've got drawers full of it. I don't need any. I don't know where I was going with this. Norman, you started it. You got me off on a tangent, and now I got to come back to Norman. Maybe it'll bring me back. So God created us unique. That's where the smells came in. You don't smell, Norman. I'm not talking about you, though, okay? All right? Your wife takes care of that, doesn't she? Yeah. He's pointing. You see, the psalmist wrote that we were fashioned for him. You and I, we were born at this particular time we were born in a particular family, in a particular location, and He made your life and my life a set number of years. God knows the exact moment in which I will pass into eternity. He knows the exact moment in which I was born and in which I will die. He's got my days numbered, my minutes are numbered, my seconds are numbered. Every one of us, we were born into circumstances. The circumstances I was born into and the family I was born into is not the same family you were born into. Circumstances can be good and both bad. Each of us will encounter in our lives a degree of good and a degree of evil. We will face reality of life and death. We had a funeral on Thursday evening here, Brother Fernando, and he faced the reality of eternity. He has now passed on into the next life. He's not here. We can't see him in this life anymore. What he is all he is, and what he became was all he would ever become at that point of death. And we don't know how many days we have. We don't know where we are on that countdown. We will face the realities of life and death, and God created you, and God equipped you, and then God filled you. He filled you with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to us for more than just salvation and speaking in tongues. It was given to us to face situations and to face circumstances in our lives. It was given to us for help and for guidance. And it was given to us so that it would transform us from death to life and evil to good and bad to best. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost inside of us. And your purpose on this earth is to develop your God-given gifts and talents and abilities to the best of your ability so that we can impact the world around us for Jesus Christ. If our praise team can come, and I'm going to finish this tonight. I'll have to finish this tonight, Sister Debbie. Have you ever really wondered why God placed you on this earth? Ever wondered that? I want to close out with this. I got a series of questions. Sometimes we imagine ourselves as kids. Imagine yourself that you're on that unique mission. You're that secret agent. You sneak around the house. You hide. There may not even be anybody in the house. And you're sneaking around because you're the secret agent. We go through life sometimes. Have you ever wondered in your life, what am I really here for? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You see, you got to understand that God placed you here to do only what you can do. I can't do Brother James Hawk's job. I can't. He can't do mine. God didn't design us that way. God says, I've got Norman Puckett here. He's an incredible artist, incredible construction. He can take an ugly, bumpy, rough wall full of holes and make it totally smooth and beautiful and paint it, and it looks like a Picasso painting. I can't do that, Norm. You can tell every place I was at on that wall. God didn't give me that ability. Now, it doesn't mean that if I try hard enough and practice that maybe I could get to that level, but that's not. Now, you give me a pile of pipes, you give me some PVC glue and a saw and some copper and some fittings and a few more materials, and listen, I can put a bathroom in your house. I can make the most beautiful kitchen that ladies that you could ever, oh, that bathroom, guys, you could walk in there, you could just stick your toe under a little sensor and water will come on at exactly 104.5 degrees. I could do all of that. Don't ask me to fix the wall. See, God gave me an ability. I had to work at it, but God gave it to me. Some of you have abilities in construction. You can take a pile of lumber. I've watched Jason Brose take a pile of lumber and start cutting it up. And by the end of the day, there's a roof over my head. I can build the walls. They're all the same length. But I can't do that. Jason has the ability to do that because it's a God-given ability, but he's worked at that. He's worked at that. And God has given every one of us abilities today. You were born with ability that only you have. Do you get that? Only you have it. And God's saying, when are you going to use what I gave you? There's so many people in this world. There's so many people in this community. Your neighbor needs what I gave you. Use it! So as you stand this morning, have you ever asked God, God, what do you want to do in my life? You see, there's one thing about God. He will never do anything in your life without your permission. Did you know that? He won't do it. He's not like the IRS. They come in, they take all your money. You won't even know about it till Friday. He's not gonna infringe in one area of your life. So God, what do you want to do in my life? But also, God, what do you want to do through my life? It's one thing to do something in my life, God, but what do you want to do through my life? This is where what God does in your life starts to affect other people by what he does through your life. God, what do you want to do through my life? God, I know I haven't reached my fullest potential and ability in you. But God, what desire, what do you desire for me yet to experience in my life? What is that, God? What is that next step for me to experience, God? And God, sometimes I look at myself and I see myself as I see myself, but you see myself with all of my abilities and even untapped abilities. God, what possibilities are still within me? What's still in here, God? God, what potential is yet ahead of me? If you're bored in your life right now, bored in your life, there are potential that lies ahead. But you see, we got to go back to question number one. God, what do you want to do in my life? We got to give God permission and we got to work to get to that point. And God, what could I become if God, if I gave you complete permission to overhaul my life, God, what could I become if? And God, when you created me, what did you have in mind when you created Roy Grant? This is crazy, but sometimes I think, God, when I get to heaven, are there like two universes and there's a Roy Grant in this one and a Roy Grant in the other one? And what's the other one doing that I'm not doing? Or what? That's just silly thinking, I know. But sometimes I say, God, what did you have in mind, Lord, when you created me? God,
Lord, what do you desire of me? What is it in me, God, that you desire? What is it, God? So as you ask yourself these questions this morning, I want to give everyone an opportunity to pray, because I know that there's not one person in here that's fulfilled all of their abilities. I know that. We're all on a journey. We're all working towards perfection in Jesus Christ. So this morning, what is it in your life that you desire more of? What is it that you're not willing to give up to gain? That frustration that you feel because you haven't gotten where you want to be in life. I want to open up this altar. I want you to just come up here to the front and begin to just, let me just have a conversation with God. You say, well, I don't want to come up there. There'll be somebody that's going to come pray with me. Just come up and talk to God. Can we do that? We just lift our hands up and say, God, I have failed in so many areas. We've all been there. We've all done that. So there's, God, I failed, Lord. I know I haven't reached my fullest ability. I haven't reached that point, Lord. God, would you help me? I need more of you. I want to finish this tonight. I need more of you, God. I can't do this on my own, Lord. Maybe God's called you into a ministry and you're afraid and you say, God, I can't do that. Listen, God will help you. God will give you the right people in your life. God will give you the right job.